All right, folks, while we're getting settled in for the next item, Susan, could you please call the roll on, or excuse me, could you please call the next item?
Item 528, declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the Northeast 27th Avenue and Holland Street Local Improvement District.
Very good. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll turn it over to our very capable LID Administrator, Andrew Abbey.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Saltzman. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. Sue, could we switch to the presentation? This is a map of the proposed Northeast 27th Avenue and Holland Street LID. This area is zoned for heavy industrial usage. 27th and Holland are local streets in an industrial area just south of Northeast Columbia Boulevard. This is a fairly small LID with four property owners proposed petition for inclusion in the LID. So right now we have LID support of 95%. We got petition support from three of the four property owners. We got no support from one of the four property owners. And I'll be passing out an amendment here. We did receive correspondence from the property owner who did not petition in favor, and he has been asked to be removed from the LID. And normally that is difficult to do, but in this instance, we're not fully reconstructing the street. We're building curb, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements and doing minor pavement preservation work, so it is feasible to do that in this instance. So I do recommend that council adopt this amendment to remove 2706 Northeast Columbia Boulevard from the LID, and that obligation for frontage improvements would be deferred until redevelopment of the property.
Is a motion, do we need to put that on the table?
I would move that amendment.
Second.
Commissioner Saltzman moves the amendment. Commissioner Fish seconds. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, please call the roll on the amendment.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Amendment's accepted. Continue. Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. So this next slide is of that property that you just removed from the LID. That is about a 65-year-old building and clearly will redevelop, and then we'll get the full extent of the improvements. You notice the bus stop sign there on the right. This area is along a fairly frequent transit service line, and so we're looking forward to making some sidewalk and curb ramp upgrades. You can see right now that what we have out there right now is kind of a wide swath of pavement. We really don't have any stormwater management. You can see that kind of vegetated area on the right side of the screen. Basically, the stormwater comes off the street, and it basically flows adjacent to or on private property, and so we're going to build stormwater facilities. This is Northeast Holland Street. It's the site of a future transfer station. You'll be hearing more property owner testimony about that. Northeast 27th Avenue used to connect to Lombard Street. It became a dead end when the rail crossing was closed a number of years ago, and so the LID is pretty straightforward. We're just going to realign the street, shift it about 5 or 6 feet to the west, and then build a dead end, stormwater facility, curbs, and sidewaks, and facilitate future.
Our street is now blank. Is there something
you want? Nope, we're at the end of the presentation. So that's all the testimony I have for you today. I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I believe we have three people here to testify.
Very good. Any immediate questions? Seeing none, we'll call it public testimony.
We have three signed up. Jason Wright, Steve McInnes, and Mark Newsom.
Come on up.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
My name is Jason Wright.
Thank you.
I am an attorney from Fulon Alterman Richardson. I am working with McInnes Investments, who is the owner of the property that's subject to this LID improvement. My specific task has been to be working with the DEQ relative to some usage on the property. Ultimately, we're trying to develop it to become a transfer station permit. River City Environmental, who Mr. McInnes is here and will talk about, has been using the site currently for some street sweepings. We stage stuff there till we get a full load, and then we take it off site. We have been working with the DEQ for a period of a year to try and come up with a way to environmentally friendly build a transfer station permit. One of the things that I'd point out is that as part of this LID project, which we're greatly appreciative of from the city, is that we will be the first private and only the third entity in the state of Oregon to actually have an environmentally friendly transfer station. So through the use of this LID, specifically with regard to the stormwater issues, which are of clear importance for everyone when you're dealing with these types of materials, it's going to allow for that type of development to occur, and it's going to benefit all of us ultimately in the creation of jobs and an environmentally friendly permit for transfer of waste. So thank you very much. I appreciate the commissioner's time and the mayor's time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor.
Morning.
Council. I'm Steve McGinnis, River City Environmental. We've been in the waste collection business here in Portland for over 40 years. We have right now a little over 125 employees. This site here, we'd like to develop it. We look to add anywhere from 2 to 5 more employees on this site and to be able to handle some of our waste streams here. When coming on board, this is actually our third LID to be involved with the City of Portland. We'd like to thank the folks that we've been able to work with, especially being able to work alongside of Andrew Abbey. I have to say that I was really the skeptic of saying I never wanted to see an LID, never wanted to play in one of them. We actually have a site where we've done 2 of them on, and this will be another site that we'll be doing the third one. Right now, we just ask for your support, and we look forward to being able to partner with the city again and to achieve this. Also, we're looking forward to inviting the mayor, all the council folks out, and the people that have participated in the city of Portland to help us on another site that we have one of these on. We actually have one of them. It was on 109th, and our property started at one site and went through to the 112th. And everything good that it's brought to our business and into the neighborhood. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that very much.
I'm Mark Newsom, also with River City. I just wanted to add that in addition to the 125 folks that we employ in our existing location, that we've been working very hard to find additional real estate that we can further develop to keep ourselves within the city of Portland. And we appreciate your support on this property. It will really help us continue to grow our business and stay within the city, which is really a challenge today with the availability of property. So this is very important to us to retain people here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Any further public testimony?
I just had one question. So we're talking about a solid waste transfer station?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So what, you referred to it as environmentally friendly. I'm just curious what makes it environmentally friendly? Not to say that a transfer station isn't, but...
Well, one of the issues that's come up and that the DEQ is sort of cluing in on and working through right now is sort of how and the ways in which... different materials get staged, and they're protected from environmental issues as well as water runoff, which is obviously a big concern when you have these types of things. And I know, Commissioner Fritz, this is near and dear to your heart. So, you know, one of the things that we've been trying to do because of the circumstances with the property is that we want to create a functional, usable building that is going to be able to house temporarily street sweeping wastes and other wastes in a way that is going to allow it to be properly contained until such time as it can go to where it needs to go. And one of the things that we see throughout the city right now is sort of how is that going to play out? And the DEQ is taking an active role in trying to make sure those changes happen. So we're happy that we're a front runner in that and working specifically with the DEQ for the past year to talk about what is it that we really want to do here for the city of Portland to make sure that these sweepings are properly contained, we don't have water runoff, and to the extent that we can, keeping them in an environmentally safe manner so that we don't have any issues that arise.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Any further questions, colleagues? Very good. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Aye. Zossman?
Thank you, and thank you, Andrew, once again. Aye.
Udaly? Fritz?
Thank you for being here. Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
The resolution is adopted as amended. Next item, please. All the way to the regular agenda.
Item 546, ensure tax fairness in the sharing economy and delegate subpoena power to the Revenue Division.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to invite Thomas Lanham and Ken McGair forward, and they will be presenting this morning. This past February, Portland City Council referred a ballot measure to the voters, 26-194. It was designed to expand and clarify our authority to regulate the short-term rental industry. And just last week, voters overwhelmingly approved these changes. This update to the charter gives the City Council broader authority to adapt to changes in technology and industry practices to ensure tax fairness and to protect public health and safety. As my colleagues know, the City of Portland has had difficulty obtaining regulatory compliance from certain internet companies like Airbnb, HomeAway, and other short-term rental platforms. This includes paying their fair share of lodging taxes and ensuring that all of their guests are safe. The ballot measure essentially raised a fundamental question of tax fairness. Specifically, is it fair for a mom-and-pop bed and breakfast in St. John's to pay the lodging tax while out-of-state companies like HomeAway refuse to pay it? And the answer the voters gave us was a resounding no. So today, colleagues, we're moving quickly to implement the will of the voters by updating our code language and making the changes necessary to ensure that HomeAway and others in the short-term rental industry play by the rules. We're also moving to give the Revenue Bureau new subpoena authority, which they need in order to ensure that short-term rentals are safe. With us today are Thomas Lanham, Director of the Revenue Bureau, and Ken McGair, Deputy City Attorney, to walk us through what the resolution does and says. And Mayor, I want to use this occasion to thank both of these gentlemen, and particularly Ken, who drafted the language on the ballot measure and worked with us when we put this on the ballot, for their work. And a special thank you to the voters that took the time to understand this issue and gave us a big vote of confidence in this most recent election. So, Thomas, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning. Again, my name is Thomas Lanham. I'm the Director of the City of Portland Revenue Division, and joining me is Ken McGair from the City Attorney's Office. I think Commissioner Fish covered the background pretty well, so I will keep this brief. The resolution before you today directs the Revenue Division and the City Attorney's Office to draft an ordinance delegating a subpoena authority to the Revenue Division for the enforcement of provisions of the Transient Lodging Tax Code as they relate to the short-term rental platforms. Short-term rental platforms have argued that federal law preempts local ordinances from requiring them to provide host data short of a subpoena. We also intend to bring forward other amendments to the city code. For example, at present, the code prohibits short-term rental platforms from displaying listings unless they also display a city-issued permit number. This provision also appears to have a federal preemption problem. To resolve this, we intend to follow San Francisco's approach, which is to make it a violation of city code for a short-term rental platform to accept a fee or compensation for listing a non-permitted location. This is a very subtle but important distinction that does not run afoul of federal law. So that's an example of another code amendment that we will likely be bringing forward in June, and there may be others. So these code amendments, again, will come forward in June, and I can stop there, and Ken and I are available to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions, colleagues? Very good. Is there any public testimony on this item? Very good. Call the roll.
Fish.
Well, again, I want to thank the council for forwarding the ballot measure to the ballot. Mayor, I want to thank you for joining me in advocating for the ballot measure. I want to particularly thank all the editorial boards that took up the issue, looked at it critically, and gave us a thumbs up and helped us convince the voters this was the right thing to do. The money that we will ultimately collect in ensuring that there's a level playing field and there's tax fairness will be money that we use to provide basic services, but in particular, will help us address our housing crisis. So this is really important that we get it right and we make sure everyone pays their fair share. And the information that Thomas will be seeking with subpoenas is the kind of information we need to be able to say to guests and visitors, you are safe if you rent a short-term rental in the city of Portland. So this is a big step forward. I'm grateful to Thomas and Ken for their good work. And I also want to give a shout-out to my chief of staff and others in my office who've been working on this, and thanks them. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, and Revenue Division, and Ken McGeer. Aye.
Udaly.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish and Revenue Division. And I would just like to add that a few years ago, we set some reasonable rules and regulations around short-term rentals. And some platforms have been better at complying than others. But they've also afforded their hosts ways to kind of circumvent our rules and regulations. So I think that we need to strengthen them. And I'm pleased to hear that we'll be doing that. Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Fish, excuse me, Commissioner Fish, thank you for your leadership on this very important issue. Aye.
Thank you.
Wheeler.
I'd also like to extend my thanks. You know, this was one of those fairly arcane ballot measures, and I know that the Revenue Division and Commissioner Fish and his staff spent a considerable amount of time going through the feathered detail of the proposed ballot measure. It was a landslide victory, Commissioner Fish, and I think that's always a good thing. To some degree, the commissioner and I would joke about some of the arcane details, but the reality is that this was a really important ballot measure. Didn't get the attention, but it was a really important ballot measure because it gave us, as the regulatory body, the tools we need to enforce the regulations fairly across the board. And as Commissioner Fish said correctly in his opening remarks, this was also about tax fairness. So I think it was very, very important that it passed. And I do thank all the people who worked so hard on it and certainly the voters who saw the wisdom in this important measure as well. I vote aye, and the resolution is adopted. Thank you. Next item, please.
547, amend fee schedules for tree permits.
Short and to the point, Commissioner Fritz, I don't know if you had any comments you'd like to make or if we just can turn this over.
I actually do. Thank you,
Mayor. Very good. Thank you.
Portland Parks and Recreation is, we know, is largely a general fund bureau, but it also charges fees for its permitting services and it aims for cost recovery in many cases. However, in the case of tree permits, we set the policy guidance that we would not be charging full cost recovery in order to encourage compliance with the regulations. So we're going to move a little bit closer to cost recovery. The cost recovery right now for tree-related fees is about 30%. This proposal only inches forward with 32% until we have a council discussion and a direction to move more to complete cost recovery. I felt more comfortable with the smaller change. But as the council wisely adopted, or will adopt for sure, the budget note requiring Portland Parks and Recreation to come back to look at, with a proposal on how to have less reliance on general fund, I would suggest that bringing the tree fund fees to cost recovery, the tree program, is something that we should consider. And I'd like to turn it over to Jeff Schaefer, who this may be his last time of testifying in the council before he's going to be the Dean of Finances of Clackamas Community College.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Council. For the record, my name is Jeff Schaefer. I'm the Finance Manager for Portland Parks and Rec. I'm here today to get approval for the 2017-18 fee schedule for our tree permitting program for Urban Forestry Division. Some background, Title 11 Tree Code was implemented in 2015, and with it we increased our regulatory responsibility for the Portland Parks and Rec Urban Forestry Division. The fees associated in this schedule are for the supporting the delivery of those services associated with that regulatory service. As the commissioner mentioned, it's going up roughly from a 30% cost recovery to 32% cost recovery. Overall, globally, that's about an 8% increase over the current year's rates. That comes roughly from about 3% of inflationary costs, which are cost of living cost, along with another 5% that came through the budgetary process to displace the general fund subsidy. by 5%, and therefore that's the other 5% of that raise in those fees. The increase, one thing I think I was going to note with the 32% cost recovery is that with that, that means you're using general fund subsidy for every one of these permits that gets pulled and that we go provide those services on. The way that translates, it really means that the Urban Forestry Division only has so many of these they could do in a year and remain within their own general fund operating budget. So as the economy improves and there's more and more of these permits being pulled, it's harder for that Urban Forestry Division to respond within a timely manner because they can still only respond to, like, let's say 6,000 permits in a year. But if we have 75,000 being pulled, it creates like a three-week backlog in the timing of those permits. So I think it's just important when you have full cost recovery, like most other bureaus are 75% to 100% cost recovery, you can just increase your staffing levels to accommodate the demand. But with urban forestry, they would overspend their budget if they tried to do that. So I think it's just parallel conversations that happen that's important to just correlate. The 32% still has some subsidy built into it in order to help encourage the fees get or the permits get used. So.
And I'd just like to add to that that we are also mindful of the cost of permits in general, and that the direction from the mayor earlier this year had been to try to keep that level or reduce even. So that's another of the policy questions to be discussed.
So is that any questions?
So I guess what is the impact of a tree permit not being granted in a timely manner?
I think with it not being granted in a timely manner would be more of an impact to the development community. That's, you know, if you have a 21-day delay, just due to the structural issues of the program, that's probably impacting their cost on the development side. So it's just a customer service issue, really, at the end of the day.
Okay. Thanks.
Very good. And just to further clarify, most of the fees here are associated with development and restoration. There's only two non-development-related fee updates. One is a $25 increase on the planting and establishment fee in lieu, which is per inch, from 300 to 325 per inch. The cost recovery would be 480. And these funds go into the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund, per the code. And the other is a $250 increase in the programmatic permit applications from 5,500 to 5,750. Cost recovery would be 6,773. And the total estimated increase from the new fees is $91,400.
Excellent. Thank you. Very good. Is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. Any further comments or questions?
Well, just a further note that, as I said, the annual revenue from the new fees is $91,400. This corresponds to the reduction in the Urban Forestry General Fund revenue by $100,000, which the council agreed to in principle and will vote on. It still obviously makes even more of a hole with the $8,600 to get to the number that we put in the budget.
Very good. And I want to thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and to the tree program for working hard to find ways to make this a self-sustaining program. So I appreciate the good work that went into this. Unless there's any other comment.
Just thank you again to Jeff Schaefer. He's certainly taught me a lot over the 5 years I've been in charge of Portland Parks and Recreation. Really appreciate your service. Clackamas County.
Well, I appreciate your guidance and leadership along with Commissioner Fish over the years. I've been my 23 years here, so.
Wow.
Thank you.
Very good. Congratulations on your new
gig. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. This is a non-emergency first reading. It moves to second reading. Next item, please.
Item 548, accept contract with Kodiak Pacific Construction for the construction of the road 10 milepost 3 to 4.6 and road 10 milepost 4.6 to 6.2 project as complete. Release retainage and authorize final payment.
Mayor, we're joined this morning by Teresa Elliott, the Chief Engineer of the Water Bureau. This is a project closeout, including authorizing final payment. The project was originally budgeted for $2,028,000 $20,202.02. Say that three times quickly. The final construction contract total was $1,431,000 and change, which is 29% under the original contract amount. This decrease was accomplished by reducing the full subgrade reconstruction in many areas due to better subgrade conditions than were anticipated. And Teresa Elliott is here to answer any of your questions.
I'm Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, Portland Water Bureau. The only thing I would add is that that contract was also done with 64% MWESB participation.
Wow.
Our prime contractor was a WESB contractor.
So let me just, I'll make a comment. And maybe I'll ask a question here. The comment is, number one, thank you for bringing this project in basically 30% under budget. I'm not sure that the narrative on government is necessarily consistent with the reality of the work that you've done on that point. How did you get such excellent results with regard to MWESB contracting?
Primarily, our prime contractor was an MW contractor. So we would have had 100%, except that they subcontracted a little bit of their work out to non-MWESB contractors.
So the key is the prime contractor.
The key is the prime contractor in this case. Road construction, there are a lot of MW contractors that are capable of doing the work. And then as far as coming in under budget, that will affect our percentage as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Any further questions? Any public testimony on this item?
No one signed
up. I'll accept a motion.
Thank you.
So moved.
Moved to accept the report.
Commissioner Fish moves to the report. Commissioner Fritz seconds the report. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Thank you, Teresa. And we have, I guess, two other items we'll be.
Yes, I do. That's why I thought I'd just
okay.
sit here.
So settle in. Thank you.
Sossman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The report's accepted. Thank you. Next item.
Item 549. Authorize a contract with Corolo Engineers, Inc. in an amount not to exceed $291,852 for design and construction support services for the Conduit 2 Trestle Upgrades Project.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, we welcome back Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer of the Water Bureau this morning. And
she hasn't aged a day.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Contract and the work that would be authorized will strengthen the resilience of Conduit Number 2. To withstand natural disasters and as part of the 2015 Conduits Rehabilitation Plan. The estimated average MWESB participation on this contract is $74,200, or a little over 25% of the total contract dollars, and Teresa Elliott is here to answer your questions.
So the conduit, again, Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, Portland Water. The conduit trestles, those are above ground, places along our pipeline that are above ground, either in a support system or on a bridge. So they're very vulnerable to us from natural disasters as well as potentially man-made incidences. So we've been working on removing those trestles and getting them buried and reducing our risks on those for the last 10, 15 years. And this is two of our more critical ones that are still remaining. All total, we started with something like 20 of them. And so we are in the process of eliminating those as quickly as we can. As Commissioner said, this is a 25% MW ESB participation for subcontracting, and it's a negotiated contract process that we did through Bureau of Procurement Services and through the normal RFP process. And I'm available to answer questions.
Very good. Any questions? Is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. This is a non-emergency first reading of an ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next item, please.
Item 550, authorize a contract with the lowest responsible bidder for construction of the Council Crest Roof Replacement Project at an estimated cost of $550,000.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, we're joined by Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer of the Water Bureau, and by contract, she's eligible for a bonus if she testifies on three or more items in any one day at Council. As my colleagues may know, the existing roof of the Council Creek potable water tank and upper tank walls are severely corroded and must be replaced immediately. And Teresa Elliott is here to answer your questions.
Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, Portland Water Bureau, for the record. So we're asking for the authorization to solicit a construction contract to using the traditional low bid process. We will be using the city's pre-qualification list of certified contractors that are capable of doing the work. And we will be going out for contract bid. Our estimated engineer's estimate for this is about $550,000. And I'm available to answer questions.
Questions, colleagues?
Do you have any guess as to when this project might be being constructed?
We're trying to, actually, yes, I do. We are hoping to put this out to bid next winter. And then start construction next April 2018, and then be complete by February of 2019. And then we've been working with the Parks Bureau and PBOT and the local residences for traffic impacts. So that'll be the primary impact.
Thank you. Yeah, I did notice in my write-up that the park will be closed for 5 days.
Does that sound right, guys?
They're hoping much less than 5 days. For folks to be aware, many of our parks, in partnership with Transportation Water Bureau, there are occasionally construction projects have to happen. So
right.
I'm glad to hear that it'll be later.
And it may be, once we get closer to it, it may be that we don't have to close the entire park down, but that we just close off portions of it to make it safe.
Thank you.
And we'll know that as we get closer.
How often do the roofs of these structures need to be replaced?
That's a good question. I don't have that answer, and I can get back to
you. Seems like
a
pretty rare occurrence.
Well, this is a 50-year-old tank, and it's a metal tank. This is the first time it's been replaced.
Very good. Okay, great. Thank you. Any public testimony on this item?
And no one signed up.
This is a non-emergency first reading of an ordinance. It moves to second reading.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your testimony today. Next item, please.
Item 551, authorize an agreement with Clackamas County in the amount of $210,425 to acquire a 30-acre conservation and access easement.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor, I request that this matter be held over to 2 p.m. on Thursday.
Seeing no disagreement.
By agreement with your office.
Very good. We will hold that over till 2 p.m. this Thursday. Next item, please.
552, authorize an agreement with TriMet for an estimated amount of $20,080 to implement the Environmental Services Project Southwest Yamhill Morrison to Southwest 1st and 13th Project.
Is there any further council discussion or deliberation on this matter? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Sausman. Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, please.
Authorize a competitive solicitation and contract with the lowest responsible bidder for construction of the citywide sewer rehabilitation project.
This is also a second reading. Any further deliberations on the part of the council? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, please.
Number 554, authorize the rates and charges for water and water-related services during the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2018, and fix an effective date.
Mayor, may I be heard before the vote?
Please.
I have received an inquiry, and I want to just clarify it for the sake of my colleagues. Yesterday, each of you got a memo from the Water Bureau advising you that the Oregon Health Authority has revoked the variance that saved us the cost of treating our water over the past 5 years, effective in September of this year. In response to that, we have scheduled a work session for June 27th for the purpose of updating the council on the action taken by the Oregon Health Authority, and we have directed the Water Bureau to come forward with all the various options that are before the council based on that action. That will include treatment options with updated cost estimates and potential rate impacts. But I want to be very clear, Mayor and colleagues, whatever the council decides, and it ultimately is a council decision, that decision will have no impact on rates for the period July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2018. And I wanted to clarify that on the record.
Thank you for that clarification, Commissioner. It's an important one. Any further council discussion? This is a second reading. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I want to thank the Water Bureau, Director Stewart and his team, and all the professionals who work with the council in every year in developing a budget and setting the rates. I want to thank all the folks in the community who provide oversight over the utilities, including the Portland Utility Board and the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. And I want to thank the folks who have testified and my colleagues and their staffs for scrubbing the proposal. This is the fourth year that we've been able to lower the rate of for water services below the forecast. And I think over the last 4 years, if you look at the trend line, the combined rate increase has gone from about 6% to 4%. As the mayor noted, it is still combined rate is still above the rate of inflation. However, if you lived in a number of suburban communities, you pay more for your water. We deliver clean, safe, reliable water to almost 1 million people in the region, and our goal is to charge a fair price and to provide good value. And I think the rates this year reflect that. Aye.
Thanks, Commissioner.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your ongoing stewardship of the utilities. Aye.
Wheeler.
I also want to thank Commissioner Fish, and I want to thank the Water Bureau, who have worked diligently. I mean, this is my first time as mayor to actually see how hard they work and how our utility oversight infrastructure works to keep utility rates as low as possible. And I also want to thank Commissioner Fish for his excellent stewardship on this. The ordinance is adopted. Next item, please. We're actually making you play catch-up today. That's
right.
Sort of unusual.
Item 555, revised sewer and stormwater rates, charges, and fees in accordance with the fiscal year 2017-2018 sewer user rate study.
Commissioner Fish.
A vote, Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is this is also a second reading. Any further council discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, I want to thank Director Mike Jordan and his team for all the work that they put into preparing the recommendations for council. Again, our oversight bodies, the public, my colleagues and their staff for scrubbing those recommendations. And, Mayor, I want to acknowledge in the budget that you proposed, you have authorized the Bureau to make some additional investments over the next 10 years. And Director Jordan has proposed a very compelling a vision over the next 10 years, which is to get as close to 100% sustainability in the condition of our assets as possible, with the ultimate goal, and it's an audacious goal, of becoming the first utility of its kind in the country with a pay-as-you-go system for maintaining its assets. Now, we are different than other bureaus in that we have dedicated revenue through the rates. And if PBOT and Parks had dedicated revenue, they would be in a different situation in terms of the condition of their assets. But we're close to 70% good or better condition of assets because of the generosity of our ratepayers, and the director has laid out a vision, at least for BES, to get close to 100%. And I think that's a worthy goal, and I thank you for your support on that. Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz?
Commissioner Fish, I remember when these two votes were amongst our most controversial, and both chambers would be stacked with people yelling at us for that reason. So, again, I very much appreciate what you're doing and also very much support having 100% maintenance ongoing. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you, Commissioner. Next item, please.
556. Revised residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges effective July 1, 2017.
This is a second reading. Any further council discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, to recap, after many years of being completely stable and not increasing it, this increase is less than 1%. So thanks very much, Mayor, to your team in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for their work on this. Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Code's amended. Next item.
557. Authorize $100,000 for the establishment of the Portland in the Streets Community Grant Program to award grants through a competitive process for the period of July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019.
So, Dan, Commissioner Saltzman had to leave, but he asked me if I would read his opening remarks, okay. So I'd like to do that. I'm proud to bring forward this exciting new community grants program developed for new and creative projects that encourage transportation safety in our neighborhoods throughout the city. The Portland Bureau of Transportation will allocate $100,000 to the competitive grant process. Irene Schwafferman, did I get that right, Irene?
I did. Thank you.
Great. Irene Schwafferman, Public Involvement Coordinator for the Portland Bureau of Transportation, is here to talk more about the program and is available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And good morning. As introduced, my name is Irene Schwafferman. I'm the Public Involvement Coordinator for the Portland Bureau of Transportation. I'm excited to be here today to introduce and seek your support for the Portland in the Streets Community Grant Program. As mentioned, this grant program will distribute $100,000 in grants, up to $20,000 each through a competitive process this summer. We've provided Exhibit A, which is the grant handbook and application packet. And I wanted to quickly go through some of the program goals and the purpose. So the goals of this program are to invest in small-scale community-driven projects focused on transportation safety, equity, innovation, and placemaking, to engage communities historically underrepresented in and underserved by PBOT programming, including but not limited to communities of color, immigrant and refugee communities, low-income individuals and families, youth, people with disability, gay, lesbian, bi, and transgendered people. We also seek to supplement PBOT's existing priorities and capital projects, to generate new and innovative ideas for PBOT to consider in the long term, and to decrease policy and process barriers to idea implementation. And lastly, to strengthen collaboration between PBOT and community partners by providing hands-on technical support during the project implementation process. The program priorities will include events in the streets, creative community infrastructure, innovative community engagement, expanding the urban trails network, and small-scale transportation and safety projects. And we see this as an extension and a supplement to our livable street strategy, Vision Zero, and other priorities that our bureau is currently implementing. We've included in the application other examples and sample budget amounts of the grants or the projects that we seek to support, but really we're looking for community to bring us any ideas that they have, and we'll work with them to help see them to fruition. We are really seeing this as an opportunity to expand and strengthen our public involvement with community members, and we worked with members of our budget and Budget and Bureau Advisory Committee to develop what you see before you today. We have also consulted with other city bureaus who have current or previous grant programs, including ONI, BES, and Portland Parks and Recreation. What you'll see in here is that we've included a strong equity focus. Our team will be focusing on outreach in diverse communities. We'll host at least two community information sessions and provide staff and consultant technical assistance during the planning and implementation period of the program. Our goal is to have all grantee projects implemented by the end of 2018, and we look forward to reporting back on all of the program's success. So thank you in advance for your support.
Thank you, Irene. Commissioner Fritz.
I note that both the ordinance and the financial statement says that it's coming into the next year's budget. What's the source of the $100,000?
You have someone from our budget team who can give you the best answer.
Good morning.
Ken Kinoshita, PBOT Finance Manager. The source of the revenue is our general transportation revenue.
So basically gas tax revenue?
Yeah, gas tax and parking revenues.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I'll support it.
Very good. Commissioner Udaly.
What's the URL for this grant so I can send people to it?
It's a city URL, so we will announce it formally by the end of this week. So
Great. Be
sending it out to the community, and we'll make sure that all your offices have that information.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can commissioners apply for a grant?
Any further questions?
That's what we had to find.
Is there any public testimony on this item?
Does the answer to that question determine your vote on this matter, Commissioner?
No one signed up.
Very good. This is a non-emergency first reading. It moves to second reading. Thank you. Looks really exciting. Thank you, Irene.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Next item, please.
558, revised transportation fees, rates, and charges for fiscal year 2017-18 and fix an effective date.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The rates, fees, and charges are adopted. Next item, please.
559, vacate a portion of Northeast Cooch Street east of Northeast 3rd Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Any further council deliberations? Again, this is the second reading. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. And just for people watching, we've already had deliberations. Staff testimony and public testimony and all of these items that we're just calling the roll on for second reading. Next item, please.
560, approve fiscal year 2017-18 cost of living adjustments to pay rates for non-represented classifications and elected officials. Specify the effect upon employees and the classifications involved and provide for payment.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
You could state your name for the record, please.
My name is Elizabeth Nunes. I'm the Classification and Compensation Manager in the Bureau of Human Resources. And I have to say I'm really glad I didn't follow up on the children's presentations because I was very humbled. I am here to present to you an ordinance to approve fiscal year 2017 to 2018 cost of living adjustment to non-represented classifications and for elected officials. The amount is 2.2% this year, and just to know the cost distribution for the fiscal year, it's a total of $3,816,000, with $1.8 million of it coming out of the general fund, and then the remaining $2-plus million from the non-general fund bureaus. Any questions?
Thank you. I don't think there are. So this moves to a second reading. And
there was no sign up for testimony.
Yeah. So I would like to note that my pay has finally become more per hour than it was when I was working at OHSU. So that is a significant milestone for me, although I would have to say that per hour I think I'm still making about minimum wage. But thank you very much.
Congratulations for that.
Yeah, congratulations. Okay, can you call the next item?
561, authorize revenue bonds in an amount sufficient to provide not more than $20 million to finance space in a project to be located on Southwest 4th Avenue and Southwest Montgomery Street.
Vote on
it. Okay.
It's a second reading. Fish?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Good call.
Great report. Next item, please.
Next is 561-1. It's accept bid of Paul Brothers, Inc. for the Spring Garden Park development project.
I'm sorry, I have a question. So 560 was a non-emergency first reading. Why are we voting on it?
You voted on 561.
Oh, that was 561.
Yeah.
Thank you. So you're on 5611?
Correct.
Very good.
That's right.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner, for doing a great job. Thank you. Got way ahead of me.
I was trying to
fastest
make it
gavel in the West.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Mayor Wheeler. And
could you do me a favor and just pull the mic a little bit closer and name for the record?
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks.
My name is Lauren McGuire. I'm the Development Program Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. With me is Travis Rubal, the Capital Projects Manager 3 on the project, who's working to bring this to fruition, as well as Larry Blatt from the Procurement and Andrew Abbey, our PBOC Capital Project Manager 3. We're here today to accept the bid and to give you a brief presentation. We're going to be accepting the bid from Paul Brothers for the Spring Garden Park construction for $3.1 million. We will also give you a brief overview of the project, and then we'll be able to answer any questions that you have on the project. The rendering up that you're looking at shows Spring Garden Park, which is located between Southwest Spring Garden to the north or top and Southwest Golf Court to the south or the bottom. Spring Garden Park project purpose is to further develop the existing park with a new playground, splash pad, and loo in the area towards the bottom left of the image. Also, a picnic shelter and picnic area with contemplative garden toward the bottom right of the image. We've got ADA accessible connections winding through the park from Southwest Golf Court to Southwest Spring Garden. We've also got a meadow with hillside plantings that will provide habitat. And we've got a gathering area toward the top of the image by the stream daylighting facility. And then lighting and street frontage improvements. The primary goals of the park design are to maintain it and enhance the existing character of the park with its broad open areas, as well as to provide recreational opportunities with facilities that are consistent with those of our other neighborhood parks, including pedestrian connectivity in the neighborhood, and to protect the natural resource areas. In 2017, we completed 12 months of public engagement process that included four public meetings and five project advisory committee meetings. We received great feedback from everyone about the Spring Garden design. We also heard that there was a need for increased pedestrian access through the park, which we've accommodated. As part of the park development process, we also learned that PBOT would require street frontage improvements. So we've been working with Andrew on a local improvement district for those improvements. He'll tell you a little bit about that. The frontage improvements at the park include a dedication of property of 7 feet on Spring Garden and also on Golf Court, and this will allow the construction of sidewalks, stormwater facilities, and also street trees. So again, to review, we're here today to accept the bid from Paul Brothers for the Spring Garden Park construction and LID street improvements for $3,100,000. $6.59 and 32 cents. This includes the local improvement district costs as well. The bids came in a little bit higher than we anticipated from the engineer's estimate, which was $2.75 million. This construction bid cost is about 11% over what we had estimated. We think they're higher because of the current construction boom, because of the time of year of the bid, because of the steep topography with our construction access difficulties, the high water table we have, and the higher than normal pricing that we're seeing. We're working on value engineering, changing some of the materials, and deleting a few of the items to deliver a park for the funding appropriated. In closing, thank you for allowing us to present on the Spring Garden Park. And at this time, Larry will talk about the procurement, and then Andrew, followed by Andrew, to talk about the local improvement district. And Travis is here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Larry Palat from Procurement Services.
Morning.
You have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award to Paul Brothers. The engineer's estimate on this project was $2.75 million with a confidence level of moderate. On April 6, 2017, four bids were received, and Paul Brothers is the low bidder at $3,100,000, $3,100,659.32, which is 11.3% over the estimate. Portland Parks Recreation conducted a bid analysis and determined that there were three primary factors that contributed to the increase in cost: construction site access issues, high labor demand in the local market, and the timing of the bid, which is at the same time as many other public agencies and private companies are in the construction market. The city put forward an aspirational goal for DMWESB subcontractor and supplier utilization at 20% of the hard construction costs for the project. Paul Brothers identified 9 divisions of work for DMWESB certified firm participation, with subcontracting participation at 28.36%, with work being performed in concrete, hydroseeding, masonry, metal fabrication, play surface installation, fencing, trucking, flagging, and survey. Paul Brothers is a certified emerging small business, so the combined prime and subcontractor participation in this project is 91.2%. It probably should be noted that Paul Brothers could self-perform a significant portion of the subcontracted work, but they have chosen to spread the wealth in support of the city's programs and goals. Any questions?
I'm Andrew Abbey. I'm the city's LID administrator. Thank you. I'm Andrew Abbey. I'm the city's LID administrator. So when I first started working with Parks, they had a requirement, as Lauren mentioned, to build sidewalks along the frontage of Spring Garden Park. We didn't think it made a lot of sense to build an island of sidewalks that didn't connect to anything. So we did some PBOT and Parks did some joint outreach to the community, and we formed a local improvement district to build not only sidewalk improvements but also stormwater improvements, particularly on Dolph Court between the park and Southwest 30th Avenue, so that the multifamily apartment units along that street would have pedestrian access both to the park to the west and also to transit and shopping to the east. And in addition to that, we're going to be doing some pavement restoration on Southwest Dolph Court. So of the LID amount, we formed an LID with $725,000 in funding from Parks and $547,552 from private property owners, for a total amount of $1,272,000. Just to clarify the bid that came in, the street portion of the bid actually came in pretty favorable. We estimated at LID formation a construction amount of $583,000, and the street portion of the bid came in at $640,000, but we actually had built in some betterments into the project, such as some additional pavement work. So from PBOT's point of view, we actually landed really close to the original budget for the street improvements. And I really wanted to recognize my colleagues in PBOT. They've done a really exceptional job of designing this project in a difficult area with difficult stormwater requirements and great issues, and they've done a really good job of rising to the challenge. And then finally, I just wanted to note that I received a written request yesterday from a property owner to the west of Spring Garden Park on Southwest Spring Garden Street to join the LID. So I will be bringing an amendment to the LID to council on June 28th to expand the LID boundary and build some additional 111 feet of street improvements on Southwest Spring Garden Street that will inch us ever closer to having east-west pedestrian connection to Southwest Capitol Highway, where PBOT's going to be doing a major project in the not-too-distant future. So look for that on June 28th with a second reading on July 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I'll see, you're
just
here
for questions,
to
Travis?
Questions, correct?
Yes, if you have any technical questions regarding the park development, my name is Travis Rubel. I'm the capital project manager, and I'd be happy to answer any you might have.
Great. I just have one question, and it's sort of a hypothetical. Well, it's not hypothetical, I guess. It's just sort of a process-y question. So we are now, as you said, competing with other public institutions that are looking for the same expertise. We're obviously competing with the private sector for contracting and labor. I'm certainly seeing this in the housing market, where the cost of construction has been escalating pretty rapidly. How do you weigh decisions about expediency against rising costs?
In other words, is there a point at which the inflation in the construction market might dictate to us that we actually hold off on certain capital construction projects until a time when the cost of construction is more stable, or is it more important to be online quickly? How do you weigh those different factors?
Okay. If I might take a shot at it.
Sure, absolutely.
We have a lot of other projects in the pipeline, so it's not like we're doing everything now at the height of the market. And that's one of the good things about having system development charges, and which is funding this particular project. We know that there are going to be many others coming down the line. We have a certain amount of POCS staffing expertise, so they are working at maximum, which we want them to. Thank you very much.